Hey, God bless you, and we're so glad to have you, and we're thank God that you're with us. This is Pastor James Moffitt from Indio, California, Senior Pastor of Church Unlimited, and welcome to Your Limitless Life. And we want to just, again, say thank you, and we so appreciate that you're with us. And also, let us know where you're watching from, if you would, comment, and if any questions that would you might have during the subject matter that we're talking about. Please ask us those or any Bible question that you might have, and we can see you in real time, whether or not you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, and we will respond to you in real time as well. If you have a prayer request, please let us know. Let us come into agreement with you. The Lord said, if two or three come together agreeing on earth concerning anything, that it would be done of our Father in heaven. And if you will let us know what you need prayer about, we would be honored to come into agreement with you and pray. And we're looking forward not only to praying with you, but seeing God answer and meet every prayer request that you have, because He's not only a prayer hearing God, He's a prayer answering God. And so, like I said, if you can just comment or just let us know that you're watching, we would be so thankful for that. And if you have not done already, please like and subscribe and share with as many people as you can. And we would be so thankful for that as well. One of the things, or the thing mostly that I want to talk to us tonight about, is our emotions and being ran by our emotions. And it's just been something that's been on my heart. Heard some even conversations even last night about this, and how our emotions seem to be running us ragged, not just in the world and but also in the church. And God says that we're to be kind and love everyone, but especially those that are in the faith. And whether or not you're watching and you're in right relationship with God or not, we love you and are so thankful that you are watching. If you're not in right relationship with God, we want to be able to pray with you tonight that you would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Be the best thing that you've ever done in the beginning of the rest of your life, and we would be honored to do that as well. But if you are also watching and you're struggling with your emotions, or your emotions have just been seemingly running you ragged, this is my heart tonight that you would, that the Lord would just help us in this conversation, guide my words, and direct me to be able to speak directly to what you're going through. Because the word of the Lord, the Bible, Jeremiah said, is it not like fire? Does it not go forth like a hammer, breaking down every hard place? And Isaiah 55:11 says, the word of the Lord does not come back void, but it does accomplish that it's sent forth to do. So God's word never fails, and the seed of God's word is being thrown through this vessel tonight. And if you'll just open up your heart and receive it with joy, it's going to produce fruit, and fruit that remains. And so we're so thankful to have you on and watching with us tonight. And so, like I said, I just want to talk briefly about our emotions. And I'm not just talking about, you know, having a bad day, but I'm talking about things that maybe reoccur, or you'll get a hold of it for a little while, but it just seems like it circles back around. Those are called emotional strongholds. And what I mean by emotional strongholds, I'll explain it a little bit more, in the difference between an emotional stronghold and what the world would call an addiction. But I'm talking about reoccurring emotions: anger, depression, discouragement, lack of self-esteem, frustration, and or fear. And I want us to notice, like I said, I didn't use the word addiction. I used the word stronghold, because addiction is a word that the world uses to describe something that you are struggling with and can manage but not overcome. You're addicted to alcohol, or you're addicted, they say, to drugs, or you're addicted to sex, or whatever the case may be. And the reason why I don't use the word addicted is because the way the world likes to use it, or likes to suggest that I'm powerless and I can't do anything about it. So in other words, it's like somebody else did something to me, and because of the way that I'm made up, my genes are such a way that I have a proclivity to be addicted to alcohol, or because my genes and my makeup are like, you know, they are, whatever, I'm addicted to this, and maybe somebody else isn't addicted. In a natural context, I hope you understand what I'm saying, but it leaves me forever helpless to me, that I'm forever helpless in that thing or in that issue. But the biblical word is stronghold. The biblical word is stronghold. What's the difference? Stronghold used biblically lets me know that there is something spiritual going on here. And that's one of the biggest things that we have to understand. When you just say the word addiction, it just leaves you and you trying to, in your own willpower, trying to get through this thing. And if I could just manage my behavior in my own strength, if I could just do this, and I know not just talking about drugs and alcohol and some of the major things that the world struggles in, or that you may be struggling, or whatever the case may be. 100% of the time, I'm pretty safe in saying this, and all of us know this. January 1st, we're all getting ready to want to make all the changes in the world, but in our own willpower, by the time February gets here, you know, almost 100% of the time, we've already broke our New Year's resolution. So willpower on its own is not going to cut it. Trying to manage what the world calls an addiction is not going to cut it. But here's the thing. When you realize that there's a spiritual aspect behind this thing, it means that there's something deeper going on than just something wrong with me. So there is someone behind the scenes that is trying to manipulate and control you so that you know, they, which is the right word, which is control. So they can control you for the rest of your life. They can manipulate you for the rest of your life. That thing can have its thumb over you for the rest of your life. And it's something that the enemy, in that spiritual context, wants you to underthink and to believe, if he can get you to believe that this is just something that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. But the devil is a liar. This is not just a physical issue, not just a humanistic issue. God bless you, Sister Pat. God bless you, Jenny. So good to have you with us. We love you so much. This is a spiritual issue. And if you can get that understanding, then it'll help us in the subject of what we're talking about tonight. And it'll help you if you're struggling even in your emotions. Addiction means that I'm just going to stay like this. Stronghold is telling me that if I could get this spiritual right, then the physical is going to change. Hallelujah. And so that there, you know, when the Lord, you know, when, even in the Lord's Prayer, when we pray, or it's actually the disciples' prayer, but we call it the Lord's Prayer. But when we pray that prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we are praying that God, that kingdom, that real kingdom, is breaking into this natural world. His will is being accomplished in the will of this earth through us. And when you begin to pray and understand that this is more than just a physical issue, when you begin to know that this is a spiritual issue, the Bible says that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is not just you trying to communicate with God through your natural mind, but when you release and go past the mind and you begin from your spirit to cry out, your spirit cries out to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit which searches the deep things of God begins to communicate with your spirit, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Then the reward comes, that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's what we're believing even for tonight. That you may be struggling in some form of your emotions, or your emotions are running you ragged, or whatever the case may be. But we believe that by the word of the Lord and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thing that's been controlling you is going to be broken by the time that we get done praying in this place tonight. Wherever you are watching from, that the devil's not controlling you and running you around ragged by your mind and your emotions and trying to wear you out. But the Lord, the refreshing comes from the oil being poured out by the Holy Ghost of God. And so we thank God, and we know that that's going to happen, and we're agreeing together that that's going to happen in Jesus' mighty name. I want to read this out of Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13 before I go any deeper. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13. This is Jesus speaking here concerning the Father. And it'll, and then I'm going to just get in deeper with this. Sister Abby, God bless you. Love you so much. Matthew chapter 15, hallelujah, and verse 13. It says, Jesus replied, "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted." I'm talking about strongholds. I'm talking about things that are maybe in you that God doesn't want in you. And so you heard what the Lord says. Anything that is in you that is not planted by God, the Father will uproot if you'll give him access. He's wanting to do it. If you'll, that's why you got to know that this is a spiritual thing and not just a natural thing. God is not asking you to do this in your natural strength. You know, this is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. You got to know that you have a God that is here and is available and is wanting, that not wanting emotions to run you ragged, but he's wanting the truth of God's word to overflood you with his peace, his love, his joy, and that would dictate your life for the rest of your life. And so, you know, all of us, if we were able to, would say, if you were struggling with anything, would want to say, I want to be free. I want to be free. That's what Jesus said when he saw that woman that was bent over, or when he saw the man with a lame, with a withered hand, you know, for all those years. How long must this daughter of Abraham be like this? How long will this man have this withered hand, you know, and just because it's not on a day that you find appropriate, he said, stretch forth your hand. Everywhere that Jesus, when he went around to destroy the works of the devil, and he went around to set people free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When the Lord comes on the scene, it's not to comfort you through what you're having to deal with, to sort of just comfort you and put a warm blanket on you to sort of comfort you, to deal with what you're dealing with. The Lord never one time wanted anybody to deal with anything. He just, when the Lord came, he delivered them and he set them free. The Lord came to set the captive free. It's what he said when he read the scripture of himself out of the book of Isaiah. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to set the captive free. And so the anointing doesn't just break a yoke. It doesn't just comfort you in a yoke. It doesn't just make the yoke around your neck a little more easier for you to deal with. It destroys the yoke. And the reason why that's so powerful to understand and so important that we understand is that once something gets destroyed, it can't be put back together again. Hallelujah. When God comes and does something, it is complete. And just like the Lord said on the cross, he said, it is finished. And I believe that with all my heart. Whatever emotional struggles that you are dealing with, whatever it is, whether it is depression, whatever lie that the devil's trying to come against you with, it will be destroyed by the time we get done with this in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree with that, type amen, please. Hallelujah. And so I want to just use this as an example tonight is that I don't, you know, I think everyone's familiar with this, but all of us have smoke detectors in our homes. A lot of us have smoke detectors in our homes, and those smoke detectors they're there for a purpose, and that is to let us know that there is smoke or there is fire. And so if we were at home, if we were asleep, and our smoke detector, you know, it was maybe if it's 2 a.m. or whatever, and that smoke detector went off at 2 a.m, we wouldn't, you know, get upset and take a hammer and go, you know, go to the smoke detector and beat that thing until the noise stopped. You know, we wouldn't do that at all. That would be crazy, you know, or you know, and because that smoke detector isn't just making us, making that noise so that we would know that the smoke detector was there. It's not just making that alarm sound for us to go and check on the smoke detector. So neither would we just put a pillow over over our ears to try to say, man, if I could just not hear this alarm, then maybe I could just keep sleeping and then go through it. Or this may seem a little far-fetched, but it'll go along with our example. Nor would we just sit there and go, well, maybe, you know, if this alarm just keeps going off, maybe if I sit here long enough, I'll just get used to the alarm to where it just seems normal to me now. None of that. That wouldn't be okay for any of us to do. Why? The smoke detector is not just making a noise so that, like I said, we will know it was there and come check on it. It's trying to let us know that we should be checking in other areas of our home. And just like the smoke detector is to the house, our emotions are to us. When our emotions are going off, it is not for us to be concerned about the emotion, but the emotion is trying to tell us, hey, there's other things that are going on that you might need to check on. And I pray that that makes sense to you. So if you find yourself constantly dealing with your emotions to where it's affecting your life, that is a stronghold. If your emotions are like running your life and, you know, to the point to where it's being... Amen. Amen, Sister Pat. Brother Larry. Amen. Sister Kathy, Brother Richard, we love you so much. Sister Monica, That's right. They will. It, the yoke will, Sister Jazz, we love you so much, will be destroyed in Jesus' name. You can claim it for yourself, Sister Monica, all of us, for your family. Stand in the gap and begin to intercede and claim this on behalf of your family. We're going to pray together tonight. I believe by the power of God and through the power of prayer, as we pray tonight, the power of God is going to go forth and it's going to do what the word always does. It's going to perform that we have sent it forth to do in Jesus' mighty name. And so, but if you find your emotions, amen, Sister Jessica, we love you so much. Your emotions start to run you. It's just like your mind. Your mind is a great tool, but it's a terrible slave master. You know, our emotions aren't supposed to run us and cause us all kinds of discomfort and turmoil, and just we can't cope with our emotions. And that's what's going on all around the world today. I mean, even especially with our young people, you know, we have so much sensory overload now that we're even, you know, we sit in rooms where people say, I can't even hear clapping, we got to do jazz hands now and stuff like that, because we're so sensory overloaded with everything that now we're being so inundated by all of our senses that even our emotions are so frayed. And that's the way the devil wants it. He's trying to destroy our coping mechanisms. But just like we were saying about that smoke detector, it's not the smoke detector that's the issue. It's not the emotion that's the issue. There is something deeper that emotion is trying to tell us, hey, we need to deal with these things. And that's the trigger, and that's the alarm that's going off. So our emotions are there to let us know that something else is wrong. When you go to the doctor and you sit down and you say, doctor, I feel like this. And doctor, I feel like that. They're hearing what you're saying, but they're also listening. And they'll take what you're saying a little bit, but they don't just take what you're saying off of how you feel. They begin to run other tests. So they begin to do x-rays. They begin to take blood tests. They begin to do other things because they know that your feelings aren't the issue. It's leading you to something deeper that is going on. And that doctor, like the Holy Ghost of God, is prodding deeper as you bring yourself in front of them and you say, Father or doctor, I'm feeling like this. I feel like this. That's your emotion. You're feeling like this. As you bring yourself before the Lord, as you humble yourself before the one who is the only one that is able to help you in these areas, He doesn't just take what you say as the symptom. He begins to turn the light on and go deeper into our spirit to begin to touch us and heal us. That's why the Bible said, oh, is there no balm in Gilead? It was someone that was yelling out, is there no healing in the hand of God anymore? Because it was a people who was far away from their God. They were separated away from their God. And they were crying out for the oil and the wine to be poured in. And the Lord wants to know if we will just yield ourselves to Him and bring our cups before Him, He will pour in the oil and the wine to begin to heal up and bind up the brokenhearted. That's what the Lord said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to touch the blinded eye, to let the lame walk. And so God, in His infinite wisdom, those emotions are placed within us, not to cause us to run from God, but so that we would run to Him, the creator of and the one that gave us those emotions in the first place. So emotions were given to us by God. So I want to do some groundwork, and then I want to go out from there. Amen, Brother Joe. True freedom. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When the Lord created us, if you want to know the Lord's original intent, you go back to the very beginning on what God's original intent was. And so God placed Adam and Eve. First, He created everything perfectly. And then He put Adam and Eve in the middle of perfection. They only knew good. The only emotion they knew was joy. The only emotion they knew was love. The only emotion they knew was peace. That was their reality. They didn't know any other emotion. So I want to look, if we can turn to Genesis 2:25. And I promise I'm not going to do my best. I'm not going to try to keep us long, but I just want to show us this, and then I want to pray. Genesis 2:25. Hallelujah. And I just want to read this because this is so important. It says, "Now the man and his wife," talking about Adam and Eve, "the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." I want you to pay attention to that. Shame is an emotion. Shame is, but when they were in the presence of God, when they were in the middle of what God created them to be in the middle of, that environment that God created for them, there was no shame. There was no shame. Now, let's look over one chapter, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves." And so, once their eyes were open, obviously, and just in case you're unfamiliar or you don't know what happened in front of this, they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the Bible says their eyes were opened. In other words, they were seeing in ways that they had never seen before. And so once they disobeyed God by eating from that tree, their eyes were opened, and look what came in. Obviously, when they disobeyed God, it caused a separation. Their eyes were open. And so once they got out of, through disobedience, once they got out of that, and to get further from God through disobedience or through, you know, that action, their eyes were open. And look at the first thing that came in. Before this, there was no shame. Before this. So in this verse, we see the emotion of shame. Where a chapter before, shame wasn't there. They didn't even know it. Chapter after, now shame has entered into the earth. Now, let's read verse 8. "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. When the Lord called out to the man, 'Where are you?' he replied, 'I heard you walking in the garden. So I hid, and I was afraid because I was naked.'" So right there, before, they didn't even know what fear was. But now you see shame come in, the emotion of shame. And now you see the emotion of fear. Adam said, "I was afraid." Now let's look at Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading at verse 3. Genesis chapter 4. And beginning reading at verse 3. It says, "When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portion of the firstborn lambs of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift, and that made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected." Now look at these emotions. So the first emotion that came in was shame. The second emotion that came in was fear. The third emotion that came in was anger. And then the other emotion that came in, the Bible says that his face was dejected, or he was dejected. He was depressed. Depression came into the world. Depression came into the world. All of these came in through the world by that initial disobedience. And I want to point out that all of these are emotions with God removed. All of these are emotions with God removed. God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of the garden of good and evil. Why? Because God was trying to keep something good from them? No, he just wanted them to know only good. And he didn't want them. A good father doesn't want their children to know evil. He only wanted them to know good. And they were experiencing only the greatest good and no evil. But the Bible said that when they both ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they saw things differently. And then all these new emotions began to come into their mind that were never there before. what's another, and I'm going to hit on this and then I'm going to move forward. But what's another word for the knowledge of good and evil? So you, or another term for the knowledge of good and evil. How about human reasoning? How about human reasoning? We were never designed to depend on what we thought about it, how we feel about it, and what we think we should do. That's human reasoning. We were designed to meet with our Creator. We were designed to get direct revelation from Him, and we were designed to only get it from Him and Him alone. And so when we take our human reasoning, it removes when any time, and I'm not going to stay here because I could stay here a while, but I'm going to stay here just to make a point and move forward. But you can delve deeper in this if you want to. But any time that you start to take what you feel down, you know, God has a will and He has a purpose, but never has He asked us to bring His will and purpose down and sacrifice it on the altar of our understanding. We don't bring what He says down to our experience. We bring us up to what He said. So whenever it is that we're dealing with our own issue, or we have an issue, or we have a situation or a circumstance, or we're trying to figure something out, or we're trying to make our own way, whenever it is that we're trying to do that, we're depending on our own strength. We're depending on our own revelation. We're depending on our own knowledge and our own ability. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but then the end thereof is death and destruction. The Bible says, cursed is every man that leans on the strength of his own arm. But when we depend on the Lord, when we trust in God, when we go to Him, the Bible says, the steps of a good man and woman are ordered by God. He already has gone before us, made our crooked path straight. He knows where He's leading us to, and He's leading us into good and only good. And so we go to Him to get our direction. We go to Him to get how we should feel about it, to know the truth about the situation and the circumstances of our life. So when they ate of that of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in other words, they were just eating, and all of a sudden they begin to see everything out of human reasoning and not the truth of God and what God said. So there, I want to talk, and I'm just going to leave that there. You can ask some questions about it later at the end if you have any questions about that. But our emotional issues and the way that we are currently seeing things is usually found in these three categories. Number one is pain of our past. So a lot of our emotional issues, for a lot of us, our emotional issues that we are even struggling with today come from past pain. Someone hurt us, parents abused us, didn't treat us right, someone misused, someone that we trusted broke that trust and did something to us opposite of the way they should, hurt, all the things that you can think of that happened to us in our past. It happened to me when I was a child. Someone I trusted betrayed my trust. A history of past pain, that's number one. Number two, problems in the present. Everything that you might be dealing with, you may be dealing with something now. You may have an issue that you're dealing with that just came into your life now and it's overwhelming to you. Let me just read this because just out of encouragement, because sometimes, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but the Lord has actually done or allowed me to see this several times. When I've gone around thinking I'm having a bad day and I'm kicking rocks because I thought I just had the worst day, what happens a lot of times is someone will call me, someone will begin to explain to me what's really going on with them, their family, and their circumstances. And it quickly recalibrates my understanding to think that what I was going through wasn't the end of the world. I was just seeing it that way because that was where my present human reasoning was. But someone else was having it way worse than I was. And this is what Paul said. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and beginning at verse 23. Listen to this. He said, "Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served Him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced dangers in the cities, in the deserts and on the seas. I have faced dangers from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all of this, I have, listen, he says, daily burdens. I have daily burdens of my concern for all of the churches. And one of the things that, you know, like I said, I don't know what you're dealing with, but sometimes I read this, and I've shared this with several people, that oftentimes when I'm going to the Lord and I'm telling God how bad it is, I actually, and I say this half jokingly, but I do mean it, because I remember this verse and I sort of hear Paul sort of snickering in the background about how hard is it really. Someone always has it a lot worse than we do. And if anybody had a reason to be depressed, it would have been Paul. And Paul wrote a lot of his letters from a jail cell and talked about the joy of the Lord. Talked about, none of these things move him. So Paul had a secret. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on tonight. And then the third thing, you know, the first thing, like I said, is pain of our past. Second thing is pain in maybe our future, something that you're currently dealing with. And then it's also the fear of the future, the fear of the what ifs. You're afraid of what tomorrow might bring or what tomorrow might hold. What if I get fired from my job? What if I get cancer? What if I have a heart attack? What if my wife or my husband leaves me? What if I let my kids go out and a drunk driver hits them? Or, you know, all of these things are driven by fear. And that's the fear of the what ifs, or the fear of the future. And so we're a hostage of what might happen. And see, all these are tools of the enemy to try to get us paralyzed, to try to get us from stop moving forward, try to keep us in a prison of our emotions so that we aren't getting anything done. You know, maybe you've heard me say this before, but the devil doesn't have the last word. And I just want to give you the scripture reference, John 10:10. The Bible says the thief comes. The thief comes. The Lord is so good at his wording. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, but I am come, that you might have life and you have it more abundantly. That the God way of life, God gets the last word. And as long as we keep that in mind, hallelujah, as long as we keep that in mind, then we can go forward and know that this isn't the end of the line, but God has greater things ahead of me. Sister Jessica, that's a great question. And you know what? I'm gonna hold off on answering that, because when we get in, it's probably gonna answer that. And if not, I'll make sure that I cover it at the end. But thank you so much for asking that question. She said, hi, Pastor, how can I grow stronger from my emotions, and how can I stop my emotions from leading me? And partly what I just said right now, and then partly what we're gonna cover a little bit to come. So you might be saying that, like Jessica is alluding to here, I am tired of my emotions running me, and I don't want my emotions to run me anymore. And I want to tell you something about emotions. Emotions are dumb. D-U-M-B. Emotions are dumb. They have to borrow thoughts. They have none of their own. Emotions have to borrow thoughts. They have none of their own. So if our emotions are a product of our thought life, think about this. If our emotions are a product of our thought life, then whoever is controlling my thoughts is determining how I feel. I'm going to say that again. So if our emotions are a product of our thought life, then whoever is controlling my thoughts is determining how I feel. The devil's lies are controlling your thinking, then he is controlling how you feel. If God and his word are controlling your thinking, then you'll feel like God wants you to feel. Because as a man thinketh, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are the sum total of our thoughts. We are the sum total of our thoughts. And the way we overcome these emotional strongholds is to have such an intimacy with Christ and see him as he truly is. Because when we truly see him, the Bible says, we become like him. When we truly see him and know him, we become like him. The Bible, and that's why that word know in the New Testament, in the Greek, in the Aramaic, literally, it means to know. It means an experiential knowledge. That I know him for me. And this is the thing, is that you got to know God for you. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, I think it's around the 10th or the 11th chapter, he said, they that know their God will grow strong. They that know their God will grow strong. That's good. That means that just because this is something, in other words, like, you know, Sister Jessica, like you were saying, how can I grow stronger from my emotions? They that know their God grow stronger. See, the Lord already knew you were going to ask that question. They that know their God will grow stronger and do great exploits in the earth. So the more that you know God, the stronger you become in your emotions. You will grow strong and your emotions won't control you. You will control your emotions. So however I'm feeling now is not going to get the last word. However I'm feeling now is not going to get the last word because I know my God. And that's what Paul said. Oh, to know him and the power of his might and the fellowship of his suffering, you know. And so that's, you know, it's a continual knowledge, a continual knowledge of God. The more you know about God, the stronger we become in our emotions. Because here's the thing, just like with Adam and Eve, they had a question way back in the beginning. Somewhere within them, the enemy got them to believe the fact that somehow God wasn't as good as he said he was to them. And if that's what, see, the Bible says, neither give place to the enemy. Neither give place to the enemy. The enemy, it's his job to try to bring circumstances and situations in your life to get you to change how you see God. If you see God correctly, first of all, you got to know, this is why it's important to know his word. This is why it's important to know him for yourself and not just through what other people are telling you. You know, Paul said this, something that, you know, I don't know if we often talk about, but he said this a few times in the New Testament. He said, this is my gospel. This is my gospel. Man, when this thing becomes yours, you know it intimately and you know your God intimately. And when you say, my God, that's what that scripture says. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That literally is a faith statement that is literally saying, I may not be where I need to be even financially right now, but my financial current situation is not going to cause me to get emotionally unstable and cause me to do something that is not godly, but my emotions hold firm, not because of what I don't have, but because of the God I know, and he is good, and he said he's bringing me to a good place. I trust my God. And so because he's good, he's going to bring good in my life. In other words, this ain't how it's going to stay. Or it ain't isn't good English, but this isn't my, where I am right now isn't going to be where I'm going to stay. It's like, you know, the 23rd Psalm. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. That is a faith statement. That is a faith statement. So he leadeth me beside still waters. And there, here's a part that gets a lot of people, you know, spooked out a little bit. But he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because why? You're with me. And again, our emotions are controlled. Fear is an emotion. But the psalmist said, David said, this is not somebody that is talking about a God they don't know. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when you read that, you got to say it with the same knowing. He's my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not be in want of anything. And even if that's not the case, it's going to quickly turn around because God is with me. And when you know that God, you trust the Lord, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If your whole family leaves you, he said, I'll never leave you. So if you know that God is with you, then it controls that spirit of fear. God said, I am giving you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. So God has given us things that by knowing him, we experience and know to be true for ourselves. When you're walking in an area that is not conducive to what God is saying, but because he's with me, I'm not afraid. It doesn't say that sometimes we're not going to go through areas that may be a little rough, but that rough patch isn't going to run my emotions to cause me to get in fear or an area that's unhealthy. Why? Because God is with me. Because God is with me. Because God is with me. Remember what I said in the very beginning. When those emotions first hit the earth, when fear came in, when shame came in, when anger came in, when depression came in from the garden, like we read out of Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 4, when those came in, it was in a sense of them being separated from God. If the enemy can get you somehow to think that God is I don't know where he is right now, and I gotta go for what I know. And when you start getting into your own feelings and your own emotions, it is pushing God out of the situation, and that's where emotions are gonna come in and run you ragged. This is why, again, the Bible says, neither give place to the enemy. When you open up that crack of that door of somehow, maybe in this situation, God's not gonna move on my behalf. Whenever we begin, his name is faithful and true. Whenever we begin to question the faithfulness and the goodness of God, what it does is it opens up a crack for the enemy to come in to bring in fear, doubt, unbelief, all of these negative emotions that we read from the very beginning. The devil hasn't changed in his tactics. And when he's trying to present those situations to you, those circumstances to you, those unforeseen things, or even with things that are going on, even, you know, all the things that you can think of that's trying to run your emotions, you got to grab a hold of yourself, grab a hold of your emotions, and speak the truth of God's word, because it's the truth that you believe. It's the truth that you believe that's going to become your truth. And so whenever we believe, if you believe the lie of the enemy, is going to become your truth. But if you believe the word of the Lord, will be your truth, and it will change your outward circumstances. So emotions are temporary off of wherever you're currently at. But if you truly believe the God that you serve is going to bring you, has good things for you and not evil, to give you a future and a hope, you don't allow those emotions to override you, and you cast down every thought and imagination that would try to exalt itself up against the knowledge of God. Because I can't be fearful right now because God is with me. How in the world am I going to get upset about my finances when my father owns the cattle on the thousand hills? All the silver and all the gold are his. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and all that dwells therein. My God, he's a good God. And when I start, I even feel myself getting happy even, you know, repeating those things. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. And in the middle of what you don't understand, just like Paul and Silas, the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul, at the darkest hour, right before dawn, the devil will try to make sure right before your breakthrough, he wants you to believe the lie of the enemy, get your emotions so spun out of control that you begin to just yield to what the enemy is saying. But don't do that. Hold on to the truth of God's word. And like Paul and Silas did when they were shackled at the lowest part of the prison at the darkest time. You know, the Bible says weeping may endure for a night. I want you to, hallelujah, glory to God. Listen to what I'm saying. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Those are two emotions. Weeping is coming because of your current circumstance, but you're telling weeping and how this current circumstance, how long that it's going to stay. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what the Lord is saying. Weeping may endure. In other words, I'm giving you permission to stay this long, and that's it. But joy is coming in the morning. And that's your declaration, and that you're holding on to that. And that's what Paul and Silas did. And at midnight, in the middle of even what they didn't understand, I'm sure that where their hands were shackled above their head and their feet were in stocks, and they couldn't even see their hand in front of their face, their faith rose up.
glory to God, over their emotions. So the truth of God's word overrode because of the knowledge of who they serve. And in his goodness, their emotions were driven. And they begin to, you want to know the best way to get out of your emotions? Begin to praise God in the middle of what you don't understand. Lift your hands in the middle of what you don't understand. Because this is such an opportunity for you to do this, because we're not going to be able to do this when we get to heaven. Because you're in heaven, it's going to be perfect. But the way that you're getting, one of the ways that you can stick this right back into the face of the devil is that in the middle of what he's trying to get you to make a wrong declaration, you lift up your hand in the middle of what you don't understand, and you declare God is good. And you begin to worship God, and you say, God, I thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. I thank you that you're Jehovah Nisi. You're my standard. You're my barrier. I thank you that you're Jehovah Rapha. You're my healer. And you, whatever the devil's trying to get you to make a false accusation against the goodness of God, you lift up your hands and you begin to praise God in the middle of what you don't understand. And very quickly, just like that situation turned around for Paul and Silas, God, what the enemy meant for evil, will turn around for good to save much people alive, because it's bigger than you. God doesn't want your sphere of influence to get the breakthrough either. And when you get a hold of your emotions, that emotional thing is not going to run its way rampant through your family. The buck stops with you. Glory to God. And you're going to get a hold of this, and it's going to stop with you because you know your God. And you know that your God is good. And so in the middle of what you don't understand, lift your hands and give God praise. And God is going to turn around that situation. And the Bible says the jailhouse shook. Every prison door opened. The captivity of those emotions couldn't hold them in. Every door busted open. Every chain of emotions that was trying to keep them captive and hold them down broke loose by the anointing that was brought on by praising God in the middle of what shouldn't have been happening. The enemy was trying to take him out, but there's not a devil in hell that has been created that can stop the will and purpose of God for your life. For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's a good God, and he has great things for you and for me. And so I want to read Psalm 42 and verse 1, and then I'm going to read a couple more scriptures, and then we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 42 and beginning at verse 1. I pray this helps you. This chapter of Psalms helps you. It says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. Now, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to read this whole chapter, but I want to stop here. Someone may say, well, this is in a perfect circumstance. Listen, watch. As I read this, watch the situation that he's in. His hunger and this thirst that he's talking about here is not because everything is perfect. It's the exact opposite. Everything is not perfect. The devil's trying to do everything he can to try to get him to think and to go in the opposite direction. It says, as the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food. Man. While my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Listen to what he says. Why am I discouraged? Emotions. Why is my heart so sad? I will put my... he's asking the questions. Why am I feeling like this? Sometimes you have to just ask this question. Why am I depressed? Why am I sad? See, it's not your smoke detector that's the issue. It's something deeper. It's not your emotions that are the issue. It's something deeper that is triggering those emotions. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. See, you got to know him for yourself. As you do, you'll grow. You'll grow in your emotions. You'll grow in your knowledge of God. Now, I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizir. I hear the tumult, the turmoil of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day, the Lord pours his unfailing love. Man, that's so important. He pours his unfailing love upon me. And through each night, I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. Hallelujah. That's what we were just talking about. Oh my God, oh God, my rock, I cry. Why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? Verse 11. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. See, he didn't look at the natural and his situation and depend on his human reasoning. He looked in faith towards his God, and he knew his God was good. Now, I want to read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Let me read that again. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Why is that important? Man, let me tell you. This is one of the reasons why having a good church home is very good, is that when you come together, that we're stirring up and encouraging one another, or even this broadcast here tonight. It's so powerful that, you know, through what God has given us through this live stream, that all of us that are on here together, all that may still yet watch this broadcast, this, we pray, we're coming together. What are we doing? We're stirring each other up. We're encouraging one another. That maybe one of you that are watching may be in this kind of a situation, but you're hearing the word of the Lord, and that word is going forth, and it's hitting your spirit, and it's causing your spirit to come alive in hope, that you're being built up in your most holy faith, that you're being reminded of the goodness of your God, and it is causing your faith to rise and your emotions to decrease, and that you're trusting in the Lord and not leaning on your own understanding, or not yielding to your emotions that are trying to take you out and to get you to believe a lie that is untrue about your God. Your God is good. And so, just like this is saying, it's good that we have come together. It's good that that this word, like I said in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11, that it goes forth like seed, and it will produce that God has sent it forth to do. And we pray you're being encouraged in Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want to read this final set of scripture, and then we're going to close. It's in Philippians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and beginning at verse 6. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I know I said 6, but I'm going to back up to read to 4, and that's fine. I know it says 6, but it says, this is Paul telling us. He said, always be full of joy in the Lord. That's an emotion. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Hallelujah. That gets me happy all by itself. And then in verse 6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. This is it right here. This is so important. This is going to help. This is what's so important right here. Check this out. Verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. What's true? Is what your emotion's saying true? Is it what God's saying? Who's controlling? Remember, your emotions are controlled by who's controlling your thinking. Your thinking is what is determining your emotions. If the devil is controlling your emotions, is controlling your thoughts, then guess what? Who's controlling your emotions and your feelings? The devil is. But if the Lord's thoughts, and if we're thinking the way he wants us to think, then our emotions are going to be what he wants our emotions to be. So, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's good news. That's good news. And so, that's what I had for you tonight. I see a couple, praise God, Brother Eric, I'm glad it's giving you encouragement. Is this so, Pastor, are all emotions bad? No, sir. All emotions aren't bad. And what we were saying earlier on in the broadcast is that emotions are actually given to us by the Lord. And so they're not bad things at all. They're actually good things. And like I was saying about that smoke detector, in case, and not to be repetitive, but just in case that you got on a little late, I used the analogy of a smoke detector in your house. You know, every one of us have a smoke detector. You don't get mad at it when it goes off. You don't get mad at a smoke detector and go, you know, if it wakes you up in the middle of the night, you're actually happy that it did. But it's not the smoke detector that's trying to get your attention to come look at it. The smoke detector is trying to let you know that something else is going on in the house. So just like that smoke detector is to our house, so is our emotions to us. We've been given emotions by God. We're emotional beings. And so in the very beginning, our only emotions were good emotions: joy, love, peace, security, comfort. But when sin came in, then, like I said, out of Genesis chapter 3, Adam said, we were ashamed, our eyes were open. In other words, they started seeing things in ways they never saw them before because of the separation between them and God. When the lie of the enemy comes in and tries to get you separated from God and what he says and how he sees it, then we begin to see things differently than the way God sees it. And our eyes are open. We begin to, in a bad way, and we begin to see through human reasoning things that God doesn't want us to see or experience through the knowledge of good and evil. He only wanted us to know good. So the first thing that happened, Adam said that he said, I saw that we were naked. We were ashamed. Shame came in. So, and then the next thing he said, I heard you walking and was afraid. Fear came in. It had never been in the earth before. And then when we were read in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel, the Bible says that Cain became angry. Anger came in. And then he said, then his face was dejected. That means he went away depressed. Now depression is in the earth. Those are all bad, negative emotions. But just like with that smoke detector, if those emotions are going on, it doesn't mean to say that the emotion is bad, but the emotion isn't the symptom. It's pointing us to the symptom. There's something else going on. That's where we have to partnership with the truth of God's word. And we begin to have to speak and say what God is saying over our lives and trust in the Lord that our current circumstances aren't what the truth really is, but that God is leading us into a better area and God will heal of those. If that makes sense, I pray that makes sense to you. It says, so in the middle of bad things, getting overwhelmed is okay. As long as I come into agreement with what God says after all. Well, I want to make sure that overwhelmed,